O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let me set the stage. The time is 1990s, the former Soviet Union, Ukraine. That's roughly equating to about 1970s within Canada in terms of social norms. Now, I would depend on you to fill me exactly the state of social norms in 1970s Canada, but I think from some conversations I got the sense that it was pretty similar. You see, because when I grew up, Santa or Saint Nicholas didn't exactly bring gifts to the well-behaved kids and coal to the naughty. He brought spanking twigs. Now, if you think that's some sort of outlandish and barbaric tradition, in reality, between 1700s and 1900s in North Europe, there was and still is a character called Krampus. Now, Krampus in those traditions used to walk around with Saint Nicholas. And if St. Nicholas would deliver gifts to well-behaved kids, Krampus would deliver spanking twigs as punishment for the naughty. Based on this background and sort of social norms, now imagine a neighborhood. Say your house is where this church is, and the grocery store is where the townside brewery is. Now, as you're playing with your friends, you see a grandfather leaving your house gates, and you run up to him and ask him, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going to get some bread." Now you say, "Can I go with you?" And your grandfather says, "Sure, come with me." So you walk with him to the grocery store. And at the grocery stores in like 1990s of now independent Ukraine, former Soviet Union, there were huge lineups for about everything, just to get the basic staples. So you stand there along with your grandfather in the lineup, like, let's say, from here to the door, and perhaps even further. Now, as an 8-year-old, you don't have a lot of patience. So now when your grandfather starts to engage other people in the lineup with discussions about politics and world events, stuff starts to get pretty boring. So after a while, you just leave. You walk home, get back to playing with your friends. And after a while of exhilarating fun, you spot your grandfather's face in the street. At this moment, especially with the words like, "You, come here," you know you're in trouble. Of course, we're not talking about 1700s and the time of twigs. We are talking about a slightly more progressive times and a time of the belt. Now, for all my pleading and pouring out my, you know, sorries, my grandfather never did get the heart to strike me, although I could see that he really wanted to. This is where I find myself struggling to connect with our scripture today. Jesus' parents have gone to Jerusalem as they did, according to their traditions. And at this time, Jesus was around 12, prime time for misbehaving. So Mary and Joseph are returning from Jerusalem, and they assumed Jesus was traveling with them, among with their relatives and acquaintances. They traveled the day when they decided to search for him. Well, I'm not sure about your experience, but when I was a kid, I probably would not have gone for a full day of just letting loose without my mother or grandfather knowing exactly where I was. Now, as a parent, I find it hard to imagine that I would just, or Helena and I would let Adam without our attention unless we knew exactly where he was and we had the phone number to call that person. But let's say that Mary and Joseph were so confident that Jesus was with them that they simply lose track of Jesus on the way back from the Passover celebrations from Jerusalem. I had an instance once where I lost Adam in the store. Those were the most the longest 5 minutes of terror I've ever endured. So after they did notice that he was not in the company, they do go back to Jerusalem. They search for 3 days. That's basically 4 days now that they do not know where Jesus is. There is an interesting point that Mary and Joseph search everywhere, but not in the temple. Now, I do think there is a purpose here. I think there is a bigger meaning than just a missing Jesus child who stayed at the temple and strayed away from his parents. Mary and Joseph, consider for a moment that Mary and Joseph knew intimately that Jesus is the incarnation of God in the human child. They had visions of angels telling them just ahead of Jesus' birth. And they have lived with Jesus now for 12 years, lived in God's presence in Jesus. And yet, they lose him at the festival of Passover and travel a whole day assuming he is among the group of friends and family. But he is not. Consider for a moment that if Joseph and Mary have lost God's presence in their daily lives, how easy it is for us to wander away from the presence of God in our daily lives. I think this is what this story points us to. To be with God, to search for God, and to draw closer to God is an everyday work. We are all invited to draw closer to God and to walk with God, but it requires work on our part. It requires us to pause for a moment and to look into our hearts, to reflect on our lives in that moment. Are we really walking with God? Or do we just assume that he is traveling with us in the company of friends and family? Is he really? How easier for us to lose God's presence, be it in the festive celebrations where we need to think of a shopping list, recipes, people to greet, decorations to put up, dinners to attend. Do we have God's rushing about with us in those moments? And what about of other life struggles? This story also tells us something else. Once Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus is not with them, they do go back and they search for him in Jerusalem. It's hard to say what Jerusalem was like after 7 day celebrations of the Passover, but being that a huge city with a major 7 day celebration having just concluded, I'm sure it was a little bit of a mess. I'm getting the sense that there were a lot of places that a 12-year-old could get lost. And there are many places where we could lose God's presence in the hustle and bustle. So where do we find God's presence again? Mary and Joseph finally, after searching for 3 days, find Jesus in the temple. And I think this is exactly where we draw closer to God. Jesus tells his mom and dad, "Did you not know I had to be in my father's house? And these words, I find, open a lot of more meaning. God's temple is within us and around us. In Corinthians, we hear, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And Jesus points us to elsewhere in the scripture, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them." Jesus is, after all, not just a building. He is with his teachers listening and asking questions, searching, reflecting in community of worshipers. That is where I believe we find God, in the body of Christ, among the people of God, and in our hearts. But it does require work, prayer, meditation, introspection. And it is continuous, ongoing work for as long as we live. God welcomes us to always enter and into and return to his presence. We just need to catch ourselves as we wander away from him and return. And with that, let us open our hearts as we pray. Great and merciful God, your life is the source of the whole world's life. Your mercy is our only hope. Your eyes watch over all your creatures. You know the secrets of our hearts. By your life-giving Spirit, draw us into your presence, that we may worship in the true life of your Spirit, with lives moved by your love. Through him who has led us to your heart of love, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.